superstar, superstar. Herbert fires back of the end zone, touchdown.
Herbert
looks to Eckler, caught, touchdown. Chargers. Superstar, superstar.
I just want to let everyone know that Marcus Spears just said, I want to let you guys know that I'm off the rails. So Marcus is off the rails already. We hadn't even started. Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes here. We're with you for the hour. Chargers are really good, aren't they, as we welcome you to NFL Live. A whole lot more coming your way, including the reason the Chiefs are like a middle school Marcus Spears. He's going to explain that. You don't want to miss it. Let's begin with Monday Night Football, though, guys. The Chargers were dominant in their performance in L.A. against the Raiders. Chargers win 28-14. Herbert finishes with 222 passing yards and three touchdowns. That means he's made three starts under the lights, absolutely balled out in all three times, producing 10 combined passing and rushing touchdowns in those games. That's tied for the most combined passing and rushing TDs by a QB in his first three primetime starts since the 1970 merger. Patrick Mahomes, Hall of Famer Dan Marino, the other two on that list. Dan, what did you learn from the tape last night of Justin Herbert?
Well, I think the thing that's been most impressive, and it showed up last night, is that Justin Herbert quickly has realized that the arm comes secondary to his mind and his eyes. And you watch that with some of those red zone touchdowns that were just so perfect in their execution and then the ball placement. So I just love that, like, this kid has quickly understood, yeah, I'm physically crazy talented, but that is secondary to what I can do with where I'm supposed to go with the ball and then how I can use my eyes to move people to make that kind of vacancy be attacked.
You know what else I saw on those plays and really throughout the game? Clean pocket. I mean, it wasn't perfect. Max Crosby won on the right side a few times, but the Chargers offensive line, going into this season, the question was, are they as improved as we'd like them to be compared to last year? And the early returns are very good. And for me, it all starts on the left side with the rookie left tackle, Rashawn Slater. I think he's been spectacular through four games. And it is not easy to come into the NFL and play left tackle as a rookie, you know, against some stiff competition. Last night, Yannick Ngakoue lined up against him a lot. And he has not allowed a single sack through four games. Not a single sack. And
wild.
I want to throw this out here. We do not talk about offensive linemen as rookie of the year candidates. We should. Frankly, Tristan Wirfs belonged in that conversation last year.
For sure.
I know Ja'Marr Chase has played well. I know it's only 25% of the way through the season. But Rashawn Slater absolutely deserves to be in that conversation.
Put him on the list, Archie.
No, listen, I think that's a huge piece to why this team is winning. And that's what last night was about to me. The Los Angeles Chargers are finding ways to win games. And Marcus brought this up early on in the season, that those were games we felt like they had lost in seasons previous. But think about this, y'all. They won the last four last year. And I get it. Listen, Brandon Staley, you want to come out and say that he's doing a great job. If you listen to him last night, he says, this is how we expect to play. We expect to do this. They go for it on fourth down, and they put the football in their young quarterback's hand. And not only does the quarterback believe it, but everybody else on the team believes 100%. He's going to come up with the play. This is a team that started winning down the stretch last year. They've added some new pieces, and they understand they have a dude under center, and that's huge.
They did last week, too, remember, against the Chiefs. It was
absolutely
very fourth
and nine.
And we were kind of wondering about it at that point because Patrick Mahomes had a chance to win the game. Of course, that doesn't end up happening. Marcus, the other piece of this Chargers team is the defense, and everyone been talking about Derek Carr and this Raiders offense. They kept him in check last night. How'd they do it?
14 points. Listen, I get it. Justin Herbert, offensive line, story of the game. We get enamored about offense, but this offense for the Las Vegas Raiders was scoring 30 points a game.
Yeah, they were. They were explosive.
Like, and at this point of the season, right, it's still early, first quarter, basically, now that we have 17 games, you got four quarters in a game. But the bottom line is we're looking for completeness now.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking for teams that's putting it together on both sides of the ball, and those teams are starting to separate themselves from the rest of the pack. Listen, y'all, it's a lot of good offenses in the NFL. It's a lot of them. Like, let's just be honest. We see Kirk Cousins
ripping
people. We see Kyler, Dak, everybody. Who's complete? And Brandon Staley, who I thought benefited from having Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, I was expecting him to take a step back in how we thought of him as a defense
coordinator.
You got Joey Bosa and Derwin James. But also, these guys are so well coached.
Yep.
They were ready for everything the Las Vegas Raiders did yesterday.
Can I connect what the two of you said? He's a defensive coach that's being aggressive. That used to not happen. You have these defensive coordinators coming and coach, and they would not go for it.
He's got an offensive background, too.
I love that.
I think the totality of the ability to coach is what kind of is the impact of this football team right now.
So, guys, it wasn't a lot of positive things for the Raiders, but there was this moment from Hunter Renfrow.
Oh,
and listen, if you're wondering if he was
a
G during the preseason, now you really know for sure, right?
Hunter Tatum!
Boom!
Dumb! Look at the read, the
look
break.
At this.
Okay,
wow.
Head across the ball. Went through the hips.
Look at the coach. Look at the coach.
Did that just happen?
It was going to work, coach.
I tell you guys, he was talking some smack with Jalen Ramsey in the preseason. I don't think he's scared of anybody, Hunter Renfrow.
He's not. And he's right. All at Clemson.
First off, when you are that age and your hairline is where his is, you're used to having to fight for your life.
You're a grown man.
And also, guys, listen, he plays the wide receiver position, and dude is clinical in route running. Like, it wasn't just about that play.
He gives my kids hope.
That's good. What does the hairline have to do with it, though? I'm confused.
Do you know the way you get talked about in the locker room for that?
100%.
At the age of 20 at Clemson?
100%.
It's not how he gets talked about in the locker room after laying that hit.
Yeah. Well, either way, it was a good night for Hunter Renfrow, maybe not so much for the Raiders. Let's get to some more news here on NFL Live today. Urban Meyer apologized yesterday for a video that surfaced over the weekend showing him and a woman close to each other while she was dancing. This was at his restaurant in Ohio. He said he should not have been a distraction to the team, as well as some other things. Let's get our NFL insider Jeff Darlington in here. Jeff, we finally did hear from the Jags ownership today on this. What did they have to say?
Right. Well, Shad Khan, Laura, the team's owner, essentially said that this is unacceptable behavior, but also said that he has the confidence that Urban Meyer will regain his trust with the organization. That being the overall sentiment from ownership. I can tell you, speaking with people in Jacksonville, Meyer is taking that message. He is going to try to push through this and focus on what Shad Khan said, regaining the trust of ownership, but also regaining the trust of his locker room. I can tell you this, that one person told me that he is, quote, humiliated, embarrassed, sorry, horrified. And this person said, I don't believe that you can fake that. Another person said that despite the obvious consternation, the obvious discussion of this within the organization, that at least today there doesn't feel to be chaos or unrest within the building. So it feels like at this point the organization at least is trying to move on. But as we all know, this team is 0-4. So the best way to keep a locker room is to win some games. And that's just the hard truth of the NFL. We'll see if that can happen against the Titans this week.
Yeah, to Jeff's point, the Jags face the Titans on Sunday. They're riding a 19-game.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Losing streak. That's tied for the second longest in NFL history.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We said from the start that Andy's a starter. I mean, Andy's the one, Justin's the two, and I always joke about him being a redhead. Like, he's got that fire in him. Andy is healthy as he or start. That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme. As far as a QB update, when Andy is healthy, our plan continues for him to be the starter. When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. Like we said this whole time, when Andy's healthy, he's our starter. In regards to the depth chart, that's where we're at. He's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three.
That's it. No more with those.
You know, I'm confused as to whether or not Matt Nagy really likes Andy Dalton. I don't know. Like, are we...
I think you have mispronounced love.
It's love. It's true love. It's a little odd, right, at this point to you? No?
Yeah, I think it's very odd. It's like you said, it's a very odd hill to die on.
Okay, well, let's get to the Justin Fields piece and all this. What did you like from what you saw from him on Sunday?
The very first thing I liked about what I saw from Justin Fields on Sunday was that Matt Nagy was not calling the plays. That was the thing that was the best about it all. Bill Lazor came into this game with a game plan that looked like it was 149 days in the making when it should have been the game plan they used against the Cleveland Browns. The drop back passes, the play action, leaving extra guys in to protect. Now we can show what Justin Fields can do with pushing the football down the field. And Matt Nagy can keep saying that he wants Andy Dalton to be the quarterback. The other decision that he should make is continuing to fire himself week after week after week of being the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, in case anyone needed proof, the Bears had 3 offensive touchdowns on Sunday. That matched their total for the entire season up until that point.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
They keep saying Andy Dalton is the starter. Only one of these dudes has thrown touchdown passes this year.
And that would be Justin Fields. All right, thanks, RC. We got more to talk about here.
He's safe.
How about the Browns? I'll try. Beating the Vikings on Sunday, but it wasn't because of Baker Mayfield. Myles Garrett and the defense produced the dominant performance. You saw Nick Chubb getting involved there, Kareem Hunt. They kept the ball moving on the ground, but Nick Chubb even called it sloppy, even though it was a win. So when you think about Baker Mayfield in all of this, Dan, they got the win, but there was something from Baker, aside from even the numbers, that you didn't love.
Yeah, I mean, the accuracy issues showed up this weekend. I'm not overly concerned with those because Baker, that's his superpower, ball placement. What I did not like were his eyes. 2 different places. 1, look into the wrong place when it comes to coverage. Your eyes should be going to the right side, inside slant to outside slant. Linebacker flows to the right. You should be going backside to number 13, Odell Beckham. And then there's moments play action pass, inside out. You one hitch to your check down. That's not how this offense operates. Then there's moments where I'm just going to lock on to Odell Beckham, where you the eyes go to Odell and they don't get off Odell because I want to throw it to Odell. And then there's moments where you're not even looking for Odell. So I did not like Baker Mayfield's eyes. This is a story that we know was a reality last year. Yeah. And I'm just letting you know, you got to nip it in the bud right now, because if they don't fix this, this is the second game back with Odell. And I'm telling you, there's 3 plays in this past weekend where he looks to Odell and will not get off of him. Mm. If that doesn't get fixed, it will continue to be a story moving forward.
Yeah, Baker's currently sitting at 26th in the NFL in QBR this season after finishing 10th in the league last season. Dan, let's get to a quarterback who isn't struggling in the slightest. That would be Dak Prescott. 4 touchdowns and a win over the Panthers Sunday. Extremely efficient performance. Zeke was on fire too, but Dak and his 14 of 22 for 188 yards was remarkable considering it produced 4 touchdowns. Marcus, win or lose, we're talking about the Cowboys, right? It's a topic that every single sports show wants to talk about. But is all the hype deserved for this team?
Yeah, it's finally to stop joking about it. This team is a legit Super Bowl contender, and they could absolutely end up in the Super Bowl based on how we see them operate. They've gotten back to a physicality on the offensive line. Dak Prescott is playing the best he's played in his career. He looks as comfortable. Him and the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, are in sync in everything that they're doing, and the defense is taking the football away. This football team is complete. Where we stand today, I know I like to get emotional. I know I like to joke. I love the Cowboys, but this time now, we really can put them in a Super Bowl conversation.
That was the most serious that you've ever talked about the Cowboys ever. And by the way, ESPN's FBI agrees with you. They give the Cowboys the 3rd highest chances to make the NFC Championship at 30% after the Bucks and Cardinals. So I think you're on to something there with all that seriousness. How about Lamar Jackson? He won the game against the Broncos with his right arm, and maybe his performance was lost in all that back and forth about the record that the Ravens wanted to make sure that they got, Mina. But either way, he had 316 yards in the air. It was all about what he did with his arm. When you think about Lamar and how you're looking at him in this game and then also overall, what comes to mind?
Yeah, I was impressed, Laura. I mean, for me, this was a really interesting matchup because I think the Denver defense is one of the best in the NFL, quite frankly. And I was curious to see what Vic Fangio would do to try to stop the Ravens offense. And it was very obvious from the beginning of the game that they were keying in on the run, doing everything possible to stop both the Ravens running backs and Lamar Jackson from running the football. So what did he do? As you said, he beat them through the air. And I want to note this. He has been beating teams through the air all season. In fact, he leads the NFL in air yards per completion.
Wow.
Not attempt, completion. Because listen to this. Imagine if Marquise Brown had caught those footballs. Granted, he played well against Denver, Marquise. I just want to let people know, Lamar Jackson is slinging that pill.
Yeah, it's funny because I think he's always known he could do that, but now he continues to prove it on the highest levels.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back here on NFL Live, glad you're with us. Time now for some updates on notable injuries around the league. Let's get Jeff Darlington back in here. Jeff, what's the latest on 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, good news, bad news, Laura. Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, did say that the calf injury suffered by Jimmy Garoppolo is maybe not as severe as they initially expected. The one, of course, that kept him out of the second half. The bad news is obviously we still are left wondering about an injury-prone Garoppolo. Let's keep in mind the fact that of the five seasons Garoppolo has been the starting quarterback to begin the season, he's been injured before week four in four of them. So he's obviously frustrated with, but still hoping that maybe he's got a chance to play this week. Teddy Bridgewater currently in concussion protocol right now. The team is still hoping that he could practice in a limited capacity on Thursday if he can clear the first stage of that concussion protocol. So he's not out yet. The good news is they also have Drew Lock there, so he could start in the place. David Montgomery, pretty significant injury here in terms of just the impact on the team. A sprained left knee that could keep him out 4 to 5 weeks, that the current timeline, according to our Dan Graziano. This is a guy, obviously, got 106 rushing yards in this game before the injury. Damian Williams, who also dealing with a thigh bruise in that game, will be the guy who will replace him as the starter if, of course, he is healthy.
And what's the latest on Josh Gordon, Jeff?
Well, he's activated, so we will wait and see if he becomes an impact player for the Chiefs. I mean, no doubt fascinating element here for a team that obviously has a star power. If only they could find some help on defense, perhaps they wouldn't be in their current predicament.
Yeah, good point, Jeff. And to that point, the Chiefs win over the Eagles on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes got back on track in a big way with 5 touchdowns. He didn't just throw 5 TDs. He did it in 3 different ways. 3 to Tyreek Hill, of course, by the way. But underhanded from Mahomes, overhanded. He shoveled one in and reminded people once again why he's the best in the game right now. The Eagles played zone coverage at a league-high 86% clip over the first 3 weeks. But on Sunday, they tried to switch strategy by mixing in more man coverage to throw off Mahomes. Let's just say it didn't work. Since we began tracking coverages in 2016, Mahomes became the first player in that time to throw 5 touchdown passes and post a 90% completion rate against man in a single game. Woo-ee! Dan, do we appreciate the Chiefs' offense and what they have to do each week enough?
No, because they've really changed. A phrase that I never thought we would say is the Chiefs have really become a ball control offense. 6 drives in the last 2 weeks have been 10-plus plays or more. They got 8 this season. They are this ball-control, methodical offense.
Have you seen that defense?
That was rough.
But how about this? I feel like on first and second down, they just call RPOs. Because Patrick Mahomes is like, you guys are going to play in zone? I'm just going to run a bunch of RPOs. And it's like, all right, this time I'll pull back and shoot it to Tyreek Hill in 12 personnel and let him run down the field away from everybody. Oh, ball fake, quick. Kick it out to Miko Hardman. That's 7 or 8 yards, 9 yards. That's our first down. And this, the ability to give the ball, fake the ball, underhand throw the ball, like it's, to your point, the defense is bad. But if they keep going on these methodical drives, man, the defense is not going to have to play a ton of snaps.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is now the best quick game quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Of course he's been the best quarterback in the NFL. But just statistically, when he throws the ball in 2.5 seconds or less, he leads the league in every category. Mm-hmm. You know, we were kind of making fun of the Eagles a little bit because they tried to play man, it didn't work. But, like, what are you supposed to do?
Right,
you had no choice.
You got to try something.
As Dan pointed out, if you play zone, you're going to be in conflict. You're dead. So on the RPOs, they're the best RPO offense in the league right now. And then if you play man, because they have so many weapons that can beat you quickly, you don't really have a shot either. And then you've got a quarterback in Mahomes who's such an efficient distributor of the football who can also throw it from any angle and any platform. Again, in 2.5 seconds or less. It's really fascinating to watch. I'm excited to see how the Bills try to handle it this weekend, not to get ahead of it, because it is such an interesting challenge defensively. I mean, you guys watching it, I don't really know what you can do given how effective he is getting it out quickly.
MK, CPOE.
Yeah, I should have mentioned. Yeah. So, complete, I mean, he leads in every category, but I like completion percentage over expectation. We've talked about this.
That was so D-tackle of you, dog.
CPOE. Oh, no, no, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. So you can calculate the expected completion percentage of every throw based on where the defender is, the difficulty of the throw. Completion percentage over that is basically like, does the quarterback exceed it?
Right.
For him to exceed it by 12% on those quick throws.
Which is already 80 is what they.
Yeah, it's already very high.
Okay, but defenders are
talking about, though, y'all. How about this, though? Like, think about this, right? Can Steph Curry make layups?
Yeah.
Right? You know what happens? He don't shoot a lot of them because he can shoot it from half court.
Right.
That's what we see with Patrick Mahomes. When you're playing this team, you're so worried about defending the deep part of the field, and you understand how explosive this team could be, that you give them layups. Yeah. Like, I'd rather give you this layup so you could get these two than hit these three and shoot me out the gym.
No doubt.
And then if you try to stop it, they're going to kill you off play action.
Right. But that's where those 10-plus play drives are coming in. It's the defense is bad, but if you continue to allow this team to go methodically, march down the field,
literally,
they're going to be on the field less.
The thing you say in the locker room is this. This is what all good defenses say. If I make you play for, if I make you snap it 10 times,
you're gonna make a
I can make you make a mistake. What's happening is Patrick Mahomes is not making those mistakes, and that's why they're killing people.
Bro, the Chiefs remind me of how I was in middle school, bro.
Like how you were.
Yeah, how I was. So my mom would get these letters and from my teachers about how much I was talking in class.
Worked out,
right?
But then the expectation was when the report card came out for it to suck, but I had like A's and B's. So my mom would be conflicted, right? That's what we had with the Chiefs. We conflicted. They 2-2, but we know they straight A students. Like, so do we talk fuss at them, or do we like be like, yeah, I know he be talking a lot, but he
made.
She was like, I don't know what to do. That's what she literally told the teacher.
But the Chiefs' offense is you getting good grades. The Chiefs' defense is you being bad.
Yeah, you being bad, right? That's me talking, but I'm still making straight A's. But the teacher would sit me outside of the class. Okay,
you get a bad
I pass
grade
the
conduct.
Test. I get a conduct grade that's bad, but my mom, like, they don't really count conduct grades when you about to go to college or high school, so I don't know what to do. But that's where we are, because honestly, the Chargers should be who we think the best team in this division is. But the Chiefs
all right.
Are them straight-A students that talk too
much. I'm your teacher, and you're talking too much, so we got to move to the next thing here now.
You're paying for it now.
Let's get into some quick reads, Sky. We got a lot more coming away. You really do talk sometimes like, you know, the rest of the class keeps going and you're still going. A bunch of topics around the NFL to get to. Dan, Carson Wentz got his first win as a Colt. What stood out?
They made some tough throws and some tough moments. You know, the run game was fantastic and their offensive line was good, but some of the throws to Mo Alie-Cox, specifically in the second half, were good. Tight window throws against man coverage, one on a beautiful big crosser that he back shoulders him, one down in the red zone. He's like, hey, big fella, I'm just going to throw this up to you and go make that big catch. And so Carson Wentz has gotten better and better every week. He's playing good football. They're going to need him to be great. Right now he's playing good.
Nina, speaking of first wins, Robert Saleh got his first win as a head coach. What'd you see from the Jets?
A decent defense. I mean, this is much about expectations as anything. I would challenge people to name a Jets cornerback before the season, and they lost Marcus May, they lost Carl Lawson, but they've been playing decent football. In particular, up front, Quinnen Williams has been a baller. John Franklin Myers, Sheldon Rankins, CJ Mosley's back. They're not as bad as we thought, and a lot of that probably should be attributed to Saleh as well.
Marcus is back inside the classroom. The Bills pitched their second shutout of the season. Is the defense legit?
They are legit. Leslie Frazier is doing his thing, the defensive coordinator. And two, it's a lot of playmakers on this defense.
Yeah.
Edmonds at linebacker, Micah Hyde and Poirier on the back end. Look, I know it was a 40-0 win against the Houston Texans. Davis Mills started. So before all y'all rebuttals come, they also shut out the Miami Dolphins, and that was Jacoby Brissett. But the way this offense is playing, if this defense can stay consistent and take the ball away, this may be AFC representative.
Yeah. You know, RC, so much conversation about the Cardinals' offense. What about their defense?
Listen, their defense is playing amazing, and in large part because of Jalen Thompson and Budda Baker. And everybody knows Budda Baker. He's an all-pro. He's a pro bowler, sideline to sideline in the way he plays. But now these two dudes are interchangeable, and they do the one thing that Coach LeBeau preached to me over and over and over about. They give you another blade of grass to defend, and they make you beat them the long way. It's going to be very difficult with Kyler Murray playing the way he is offensively.
And speaking of complete teams, watch out for the Cardinals. Yes. New on NFL Live from Field Yates. He said the Patriots have placed a few players on the COVID-19 list. You see it there. A lot of the offensive line, it looks like. So something to keep an eye on either way.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Hey, the Giants finally got a win over the Saints, by the way, in overtime and facing a deafening crowd noise in the Superdome. Saquon scored an OT, and Daniel Jones passed for a career-high 402 yards. The Giants, Saquon Barkley, piled up 126 scrimmage yards in Sunday's win with a pair of TDs, including a 54-yard touchdown catch from Daniel Jones on a deep fade. Saquon knows a thing or two about breaking off long touchdowns. Since he entered the NFL in 2018, his 8 scrimmage touchdowns of at least 50 yards are tied with Tyreek Hill for the second most in the league, trailing only Derrick Henry. He's certainly got some explosiveness. All right, it was a rough night for Derek Carr on Monday Night Football. He was sacked 4 times, uncomfortable throughout the game on Monday. The Chargers defense had a ton to do with the discomfort, of course, and they knew it. Listen to what Joey Bosa said about getting to Carr during this game.
We knew once we hit him a few times, he really gets shook, and you saw on CeCe's sack, he was pretty much curling into a ball before we even got back there. So great dude, great player. He's been having a great year, but we know once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down.
Marcus, you seeing what Bosa's seeing?
Yes, absolutely. And look, this is every quarterback. No quarterback wants to be hit. No quarterback wants to be under duress. But as defensive linemen, we try to see what that clock is saying in their mind. Are they getting rid of the play before we actually get there? And that's what Bosa is talking about. Obviously, when you got quarterbacks getting hit, they become conscious of taking those hits. But Derek Carr seems to bail just a half a second or a second earlier than need be. And then when you talk about moving throughout the pocket, it's almost like I'm waiting to get hit. I know I'm manipulating the pocket. I know my feet are moving in the pocket. When is the hit coming instead of him continuing to keep his eyes downfield so he can push the ball downfield? That is a tell that quarterbacks do not want, because you got some people that hear this and say, yeah, but, you know, they get guys duck all the time and they fall and they take sacks. Those are actual sacks. Derek Carr is trying to anticipate being hit, and that's what Joey Bosa is pointing out.
The one on third down was brutal. Frustrating watching this particular game, because nothing that Joey Bosa said was wrong about this game. But so far this season, before last night, part of the reason I was so excited watching Derek Carr was not just his aggression pushing the ball downfield. The dude's a great thrower of the football, but the athleticism that he showed moving around inside the pocket, evading pass rushers, and frankly, not looking afraid in the way that Marcus is talking about through the first 3 weeks of the season. And it felt like last night there was a little bit of a regression, maybe the old Derek Carr. And it's that, I don't want to call it fear, but it's that avoidance of pressure that is what has separated him in the past from being a great quarterback, just a good quarterback. That and a lack of a willingness to push the ball downfield. And it's something that if he wants to get back on the track that he was on through the first part of the season, he needs to be more athletic and more aggressive.
Right.
RC's clomping around
What's going on?
What do we got?
Like that?
He's mad at something. Somebody
because they want to come on here and be like Derek Carr, so different from other quarterbacks. Oh, when he gets pressured, he falls. There's a guy that does a mega cast for us or whatever he does with his brother from his basement on Monday that would actually throw footballs, turn all the way around. The camera would look at his face and he'd be like this. And nobody says anything about that guy. You know why? Because he had 2 excellent runs to win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady is a guy who I said publicly when I first started to work on TV, he sees ghosts sometimes. Tom Brady would accept sacks. It's about history. The history of Tom Brady says that's okay. The history of Derek Carr does not. But we can't look at him like he's any different from quarterbacks.
You're 100% right. But what is different is that the NFL itself has changed. This is why we were questioning the drafting of Mac Jones, is that the elite quarterbacks in this league largely can move. And I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson can move. I'm talking about evading pressure and moving around in the pocket. And Brady, at this point in his career, he plays behind an elite offensive line. That's why he doesn't have those problems anymore. If he didn't, like if he played behind Derek Carr's offensive line, well, he'd be just as bad.
He probably would be retired by now. It's probably one of the reasons why he chose the Bucks.
Correct.
He's like, I'm going to go here. Their old line is really good.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, the clock is ticking. We've gone to London here to talk about Big Ben. Look how creative this is. I got to show
they
out.
Call that clock
Randy
Big Bertha.
Big Ben. Look at
right?
that.
Big Ben.
It's in London. Just say Big Bertha.
Yeah.
I love you.
James River.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't need that much. I just asked what the damn
struggle,
name.
In a struggle, for lack of a better way to put it. Let's get to Mike Tomlin today with the latest on Ben and the Steelers team.
Continuing with the Ben questions, is he the best quarterback for this offense? And if so, what makes him that way?
Absolutely. What have you seen on film that looks fixable from the quarterback position as opposed to maybe just the fact that this guy can't play at the same level he did 10 years ago?
Everything except mobility. I don't have an answer for that, you know, or lack thereof, man. You know, Ben used to be able to run really good when he was young. Those days are behind him. Other than that, I don't see much that's not a discussion in terms of technical alterations or quality of play that can be improved.
Oh, man, that was interesting just right there. Okay, Roethlisberger has relied on the quick passing game lately because of an ineffective O-line. He's struggled greatly on slower developing plays. Since the start of last season, Big Ben among the worst in the league when taking 3 or more seconds to throw the ball. Big Ben has 4 touchdowns with 8 interceptions when taking 3 or more seconds to throw back to last season. Only Kirk Cousins has more picks in such plays in that time. Yeah, Dan?
That graphic matters through the
right.
whole Big Ben conversation because
that's why we're doing
a lot
it.
Of us have talked about bad offensive line. But that graphic would nullify the whole, yes. well, he's got to get the ball out of his, you know, like that speaks to it.
How many times have you seen him take more than 3 seconds to throw the ball
right.
over the last 2 years, which yeah. also makes life very difficult? Sorry.
Yeah.
This is,
no, I think that's a good graphic. Like, it tells the story. The truth.
I do think, like, when you think about how long he holds on to the football and what's going on
milk.
With Big Ben overall. What do you make of the situation, RC, in Pittsburgh? As it's a place that you played there 8 seasons with Ben.
I'm not really sure what's so damn funny.
I don't know either, so I'm with you, RC.
For the last 25 years, this team's been insignificant. And all of a sudden, yeah. they good.
Hey, what nobody talking about the Cowboys?
Chipper and laughing and stuff.
He's going to turn us all against
like Dallas. The truth is that the Pittsburgh Steelers handcuffed themselves to this situation.
Yeah. Mm.
In the offseason, when they decided they were going to bring Big Ben back and not have a viable option at the number 2 quarterback. I don't know if it was about pressure. Coach Tomlin has this saying that I thought was amazing because it always worked for me. He said, I could do certain things because I had a lot of deposits into his emotional bank account.
Mm.
Nobody on this team has more deposits into Mike Tomlin's emotional bank account than Ben Roethlisberger right now.
Absolutely.
But now, because of that, you're stuck in a place of making a decision of, do we give up on this season in the first 4 games and say we're going to see what we have in Mason Rudolph, we're going to see what we have in Dwayne Haskins, or do you ride a train that's clearly on a track that has a hole in it on the top of a canyon?
Whew.
Because that's where you are
yeah.
with Ben Roethlisberger. And so Kevin Colbert, the GM, made this decision. Now you're stuck with this decision, and your hopes is, and I never want anybody to get hurt, your hopes is at some point that he does get beat up enough to where he has to pull himself, or you have to pull him, and you can now move on to the future.
Man, it's tough, Marcus.
Listen, Mike Tomlin summed it up what I've been talking about, man. Just it, I don't want Big Ben to be pulled because I don't think he can throw a 20 or 30-yard pass, or I don't think he can work on accuracy, even though that's been an issue as well. I'm concerned about Big Ben getting injured. He can – listen, when a coach says a player has no mobility, that's a huge indictment in today's NFL.
The other part is, though, and y'all, we got to explain to people, he's not asking him to run
that's
like
what
Lamar
I'm about
Jackson.
To say.
He
that's
don't have the mobility to stay
say.
Safe.
That's what I'm about to say. In a division with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, in a division where you know you're not the best team already and you have deficiencies on your offensive line. So beyond the quarterback play, right, that's your area, bro, and you understand what Ben is doing from a QB approach. I'm looking at it as a defensive player, and I'm saying to myself, we going to eat today.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You guys know this. The tape does not lie. We can make the assumptions or our opinions. The tape doesn't lie, and there's too many misses on tape.
Yeah, there's a lot of
misses. And they're not good enough on offense, and Ben's not good enough to make up for those misses. These are easy completions. Respectfully to the Hall of Famer, these are easy completions that lead to second and long. This is second down. That's an easy completion. Leads to third down fumble. This is second and long.
That's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown. There's consistently two. This is another miss. Third and 12. Get the completion. You could kick the field goal. This is not my opinion. This is not me making an assumption. This is what the tape shows. You know it as a defensive guy. You know it as a deep. The receiver, they're all watching it.
It is, bro.
It's tough to watch, but Mina, there may be a fix.
Oh, boy.
It's very hard to watch. In fact, I almost can't watch the Pittsburgh offense at times, to be candid at this point. And look, I feel like everyone is sort of dancing around the issue and has been afraid to, I don't know, disrespect Ben because he's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. But what about respecting the other guys on the team 100%. Who want to win football games? What about respecting a defense that should be competing for the playoffs? And frankly, Ryan, you're absolutely right. They did not give themselves a lot of options headed into the season. You talk about the emotional bank account of Tomlin. Well, Ben's bank account is fine because that's a $26 million cap hit. So you want to talk about respect. He's fine. They don't have a lot of good options. We have seen Haskins and Rudolph. Not great, what we've seen. Right. I don't know why they didn't put in a call for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think they should give Cam Newton a call. I know people are going to be mad at me for saying that, but we saw him in the preseason.
Nobody cares, people, man.
He's an upgrade over the product that we're seeing right now.
I think that's an upgrade. But the offense is broken. Cam Newton is not fixing this offense.
He can move.
He's not fixing this offense, though. Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph, if they're not better than Ben where he is right now, then they shouldn't be on the football team, candidly.
100%. But listen, I cannot imagine them not having some type of mindset to see one of these other guys. Like, based on what you're watching with Ben, you care about him and you know he's
Why does the show
way.
Always end when we got more to say, though?
Tomorrow on NFL Live. Man.
We need another hour.